Good morning and welcome to this part of our service here this morning. I greet you in Jesus' name, and I think the cliche that you say next is, it's a privilege to be here. And 2 weeks ago, as I thought about that, I just wondered how anyone could ever say those words. It's a privilege to be here. But this morning, I can say that it's a privilege to be here because we have a Word of God that we can look into, and there's truths here for our lives that we can gain. And another reason I'm glad to be here this morning is because there's no other place I'd rather be this morning than the will of God. And I believe that this is where God has for me this morning. So I want to stand here in His will and in His grace and do the work that He's asked me to do. Now, that doesn't make the butterflies go away or anything like that. So I ask for your prayers this morning as I do as I look into the Word this morning, pray that my thoughts could be clear and that I would be able to present them in a way that would be a blessing to myself and someone here. I do appreciate your prayers. I felt many of them this week, and I thank you for that. What I thought I would share this morning came to me through some experiences I've had in the past few weeks with my neighbor boy, one of my neighbor boys. He's 16 years old, and his dad does not live with his mom, and he has a twin brother, and they have a job working at the Dairy, or they had jobs working at the Dairy Queen down the street from us, and I've just recently we've known them for many years, but they've started to interact with us more and more, and the one boy got expelled from school a couple weeks ago. And he had about 10 days off school. So he texted me out of the blue and was telling me about his being expelled. So I tried to reach out to him, and I took him to work with me a few days just to keep him out of trouble and to talk with him. And after a couple days of being together, he texts me one night and says, to the effect that about me being a father figure in his life. And I had only had him with me for a few days. And it really spoke to me. These boys are looking for something solid in their lives, something they can latch on to, and they don't have it. They're looking for anything that they can grab a hold of. It's not just these boys. There's many people around us that are, their lives are upside down. They have broken homes, families torn apart by drugs, unfaithfulness, adultery, idolatry, the list can go on and on. We relate to children almost on a daily basis that have no innocence. They're just thrust out into the world. We see young adults, no direction in their life. We see adults that are just surviving. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, weekend to weekend, no hope for the future. They're looking for something solid. And even in our own lives, sometimes it's not so far away. We have experiences that come into our lives. We have the loss of a loved one, or we have a grandparent that we used to talk to on a daily basis, or we get advice from, they're gone. A good friend killed in a car accident. These things that are pillars in our lives, suddenly gone, and we also reach for something that's solid. But you and I reach out to God, and we reach out to our foundation, and we're thankful for that we have in our lives. We talked in our Sunday school class about, do we realize, did the Israelites realize what they had been saved from when they went out of Egypt? And I think we can ask ourselves the same question. Do we realize what we've been saved from in being brought up the way we have, or the protection that we've had, and also what we've been saved from by believing in the foundation of Jesus Christ and that stability that brings into our life? You could open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19 is what I want to look at. And if you want to write something at the top of a piece of paper for a title, I guess you can call it that. I've chosen God the Foundation and Our Responsibility. 1 Timothy, verse 2. I was right the first time. I wrote it wrong in my notes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, reads this way. I want to look at the first part. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So here in chapter 2, Paul is writing a letter of encouragement to Timothy. He was encouraging him to be a good soldier in the first part. And he went on to encourage him to be diligent. He encouraged him to look past the distractions of false teachers and the things that were going on around him and to stand firmly on the foundation of God. He says, nevertheless, so he's talking about beforehand. He said, however, in spite of what's going on, Timothy, stand strong. Stand on the foundation. Second part, the second phrase, the foundation of God standeth sure. Here's something you can build on, Timothy. Things are spinning around you, but here's something solid. Here's something you can grab a hold of, and you can build on it. Having this seal, this mark of identification, or this stamp of authenticity, this is real. And the way we can know that is the Lord knoweth them that are his. The last phrase we'll look at there. The word knoweth has a thought of a intimate relationship, a connection with God, that an understanding that God has with us. That's how we know the foundation is sure, that daily interaction we have with God, that he feeds us through his word, speaks to us, we have that connection, and we can come back to that foundation when things of life are shaky or spinning around us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 15, is a verse about God being our rock. Deuteronomy 31, verse 15. I must have wrote down the wrong reference for that one too, but it reads like this. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. God gave these words to Moses to write about himself. He said, and they just have a ring of absolute authority. There's no question here in what's going on. He is the rock. And the last part of the verse says, just and right is he. So if you're looking for something solid, God is it. In Exodus 3, we've studied this in our Sunday school class here recently. Exodus 3, verse 13 and 14, God gave these words to give for Moses to give to the children of Israel. He says, Moses asked God a question, verse 13. He says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And the word I am there just means to exist. God was just telling the people of Israel, I exist. That's all I need to say. I exist. And I want you to follow Moses, and he's going to lead you. And that was all the introduction that God needs is that I exist. Psalm 62:2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. One of the ways we know that God is our foundation is the anchor of hope that we have. That stabilizing factor. When things are going upside down, we come back to that rock. God is our rock. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, again, Moses, God giving words to Moses to write down, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think we take for granted sometimes the stability that this brings into our life. Just the statement, the belief that we have that God, in the beginning, created the heaven and the earth. We don't wonder where we came from. We don't wonder why we're here. If we do have these questions, we can go back and look and be grounded again. But this is a foundational concept for us. In the beginning, God, and we rest in that. We can just leave it right there. Tim preached a message here 2 Sundays ago about God and some of his attributes, and I really, really appreciated that. And I think that is a good groundwork for some of the thoughts that I was having. I'm going to try to do a little drawing here on the board as we talk about foundations and kind of break it into 3 parts and how it makes sense to me. Drawings break down, I understand that, but I'd like to start by simple drawing here. I want to refer to this as God being our foundation. And we'll talk about foundations a little more here, but I want to use this drawing to illustrate the different parts that I want to touch on here this morning. You turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 28. We talked about God being our foundation and building on that, and we want to build on the next part of our foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. And you can't really separate these two, God and Jesus Christ, but I want to look at them in a little bit separate light here this morning. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The context for this verse is Israel. They found themselves in a real mess. If you read back in the first part of verse 28, their lives were completely out of control. The priests, those who were supposed to be leading the people in worship, were drunk. They were throwing up everywhere. Verse 8 says, there's no place clean. And it goes on later in the chapter, they thought they had things figured out. They thought they had a foundation, but it was falling apart on them. God was telling them in verse 16 here, I'm going to send you something solid, something you can build on, something you can trust in, instead of the lies that you have believed, you've convinced yourself of. And so I want to draw the second part of this foundation. Jesus Christ. I understand that these are one and the same, but for this morning I want to look at them slightly separately. This prophecy obviously was fulfilled in Jesus coming and being the cornerstone, but if you look in Luke chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, Jesus is speaking here, and he is quoting a prophecy of Isaiah. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whom it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Every person has two and only 2 options on what they will do with Jesus Christ. We can be broken and accept him as our Savior and as our foundation, or we can build our lives on ourselves, which is no foundation at all, and the cornerstone will fall on us and destroy us, and Jesus said it will grind us to powder. Our decisions on what we do with Jesus has no bearing on who he is, but has everything to do with who you and I will be. Our decision on what we do with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And a key understanding here is the only way to build on God the foundation is through the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And there's no other way for us to build on God our foundation. Since the foundation has been laid, the next step is ours. What we do with the foundation. While we're here in Luke, if you turn to Luke, back a couple pages to Luke chapter 6, verse 48. So it's a well-known story to us. The wise man and the foolish man. We have a children's song we sing about this. But there was a phrase that jumped out to me in this verse as I was reading it. Verse 48 of Luke chapter 6. I'll read verse 47 as well. For whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. The phrase that jumped out to me here in this verse this time was, the person who set out to build this house dug deep. He dug deep. He did some hard work. He got the soft soils out of the way, and he got down to something solid, something to build on. I thought about the Freedom Tower up here in New York City, where the Twin Towers used to stand, and I did some research to find out the foundation of that building. It's not even the tallest one in the world, but it's one that maybe you've seen. But that foundation goes down in the ground at least 80 feet and has concrete 3 feet thick to support the building that is 1,776 feet tall. The people who built that tower did not want it to fall down. They did not want it to settle, sink, sway. And they knew that for that tower to stand, they were going to have to dig down and dig a foundation that was substantial enough to support that building. I also thought about another tower, and maybe your mind went there too, a famous tower in Italy. It's very famous for a different reason, that we think of the Freedom Tower and what it represents, but this tower in Italy is famous for a very different reason. It doesn't have a good foundation, and it leans, not a little bit, but a lot. Maybe you've studied about the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy, but it's known worldwide for its unintended lean. The people who built this cathedral didn't anticipate it leaning. It just happened. The construction took place in 3 stages. The construction was spaced out because of war and different economic pressures, years of prosperity and years of recession. But it began in the late 12th century. The construction of the first floor began in 1173, and 5 years later, they started on the second floor in 1178. But before they even had a chance to get to the second floor, they already noticed that this tower, only one floor tall, was starting to lean. And this tower is constructed of white marble, and it was intended to be a cathedral. And I can't imagine the disappointment that these contractors had, the engineers had, when they discovered one day, I don't know how they discovered it, but they discovered that something's not lining up here. What's going on? So I don't know what in the 12th century what they had to what type of level devices they had, but somebody's figured out this thing's starting to lean. We've got a problem here. We need to do something. So at one floor high, there's a number of solutions that they could have had, but they decided to remedy the problem by building the tower with the one side's walls being a little bit higher than the other side. So make these a couple inches shorter, and by the time we get to the seventh floor, we'll be back straight again. So that's what they did. They started to build this tower, and now the tower has a curve. But that didn't fix their problem either. It still leaned. So they got some lead counterweights, and they stacked lead counterweights on the opposite side that it's leaning to try to get that side to settle down to bring the tower back into being level. So the tower today is 185 feet tall on the high side. It's approximately two feet shorter than that on the low side. And the top of the tower leans 13 feet from center. In 200 feet, or 185 feet, it's 13 feet out of level. And it's still leaning, it's still sinking, it's still going. So what happened here? Well, obviously the foundation was not strong enough, but also they didn't go down deep enough to get on something solid when they started to build. They didn't excavate far enough. And I think the same thing can happen in my life as in this tower. We have the foundation, God and Jesus Christ. And then we start building in our third step. But we leave a little bit of self or a little bit of sin or things that should not be, soils that shouldn't be there, we leave them there and we start to build. And it's not long before we start to see our tower starting to lean. So things start to go wrong. And we have to come back and get rid of that self, get rid of those things that are coming between us and the rock, the foundation, to get stable again, or else we can expect it to continue to lean. It's futile. If we're going to build our lives on ourselves, we can expect failure. So how do we build? 1 Corinthians 3. We'll read 1 through 15. Paul writing to the Corinthians here, and he has some pretty harsh words to say to him. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, and yet so as by fire." So Paul starts out here with some pretty harsh words to the Corinthians. He's talking to people in the church, and he told him, he said, "I have to talk to you like you're sinners because of the way you're acting. You're envying each other, you're fighting." And their problem was they were building, but they were building on Paul and Apollos. They were getting their foundation mixed up. They were more concerned about who they were and where they came from than what they were. And we can be the same as Corinthians. We can stack up all of our little blocks of our foundations, and we say, this is who we are, and our actions show what we truly are. I know I can be fairly carnal sometimes, and my flesh can get in the way pretty often. Verse 10 through 15, we all have the same foundation. We're referring to God here. While our past has an influence on us and affects who we are, Every person has to take heed how he builds on it. There's a personal responsibility that every person has to bear for his own building. Saying, my family is just that way, or I didn't have a perfect home, or the church I went to when I was young, these excuses will not stand the fire that will try every man that is referred to in verse 13. We need to build with lasting materials, and we need to be building with materials that last for eternity. And maybe this foundation makes sense to me because I grew up on the Eastern Shore and they don't have basements, but I want to draw another part of our foundation here. We have a block foundation here, and these blocks we can put in our lives. We can use some natural things that illustrate what those blocks are in our minds. And you fill in the blank what they are: Christian home, church family, friends, so forth. But there's one thing that connects all these things together. Our foundation that we're building, some of these blocks have been put into our lives before we even had the opportunity to say that's what we wanted to do. We have children we've been taught since little up. I understand not all of us, but some of us. And they start creating this foundation that other people have built in our lives for us. And then we build some on top of it. But what holds this whole structure together is faith. Faith is the mortar. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Just turn there quickly. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what this verse is saying is, faith is important. Faith is worked out in obedience. And we show our faith to God by our obedience and doing what he has asked us to do. And that's what holds our foundation to what God provides for us, is our faith in him. Without faith, we can expect our foundation and our building to fall apart. So we have a good foundation, and we have digged deep, and we have been building with eternal materials, and we're building a strong building. Not that we have arrived, but we have a solid foundation. We find a command in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. You can turn there if you care to. Romans 15, verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Ought is not a suggestion here. It means it's our obligation. So we have this package here this morning. Those of us that are sitting here on these benches, we have been given this package, and we have an obligation to other foundations that are around us. And one of the ways that we put blocks in our foundation is by building someone else's foundation. And I can't explain exactly how that happens, but when you help other people, it makes your foundation stronger. And it's been a blessing to me in my life. So our responsibility to others' foundation. Because I think we can definitely say that we that are gathered here this morning are some of the most best blessed people in the world with the opportunities that we've been given. So that gives us a huge responsibility on what we do with what we've been given. So what are we going to do with this foundation? We have all these resources at our fingertips. Are we going to build towers and look down on those with broken foundations? Or will we use the resources that have been placed into our hands to help others repair their foundations and their lives? Sometimes we use these blocks that we have here, the blessing of family, maybe it's our heritage, we use them to build walls between us and those that need help instead of repairing their foundations. Psalms 11, verse 3. There's some interesting verses in Psalms here. You can turn there. Psalm 11, verse 3. I don't want to take them out of context, but I think that they fit here with the thoughts that we're thinking about this morning, the foundations. Psalms 11, verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." So David here asks a question. We look around us, we see these foundations that are destroyed. What are we going to do about it? And then in verse 4, he gives the answer to the question. He says, "The Lord is in his holy temple." He points back to this foundation and says, this is what? This is where we will point them. This is how we will help them. We'll give them something solid, and it will be the Lord. We must take people to the foot of the cross. We must take them to Jesus Christ, the foundation, and help them build their lives on Jesus. This has some practical outworkings in our everyday lives. Some of those might be, we need to be the dad figure to someone who's missing a dad and a figure in their life. Be a family to someone who hasn't been blessed with a family like we have. Take the time to teach someone who hasn't been taught. Praise someone who lives with ridicule. A critical point here is that we help them build on Jesus, the foundation, and not pieces of our foundation. We are not the answer to the world's problems, but we have the answer to the world's problems. There's a huge difference there. We need to make sure that we're leading people in the right direction. As the world becomes darker and darker and more unstable, we as the church have the opportunity and responsibility to reach out and fill in the gaps in the foundations in the lives around us. God help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus and the foundation builders until he comes back and makes all things new. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. I want to thank you for everything that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for being our foundation, for being something solid that we can stand on, we can bring people to. God, just thank you for the foundations that have been placed in our lives, the foundation pieces of a good church and family and our heritage. Lord, just help us to not use these things to build walls, but to be a blessing to other people. I just pray that we would be the hands, your hands and your feet this week as we interact with people. Lord, just thank you for that we can look forward to the day when you can come back and make all things new. And we just look forward to that day. And just bless each one of us here as we endeavor to live out your will in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name.